She was only on the job 5 months, but in July, the Defense Department's industrial policy chief, Philana Breutman, stepped down. Now, that departure came as relations between industry and the Pentagon are a little bit strained. So what does this all mean for contractors? For some analysis, we turn to Mike Hettinger, the Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at Tech America. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. Great to have you on. So,
thanks for having me on.
Tell us about this position a little bit. What does the industrial policy chief, the DIB type of person, actually do at the Pentagon?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's very important, obviously, to the industry. It's, you know, one of the primary liaisons between DOD and industry, you know, deals with a lot of important issues that that industry focuses on, you know, things like small business, pricing, obviously, you know, supplier issues, things like spare parts, obviously acquisition reform as it's part of, you know, Frank Kendall's shop as well. And you know, all of this in the context of, you know, changing defense industrial base and tighter budgets and things like that. So it's we view it as an important position and something that, you know, is very important to the overall interaction between industry and government.
Now, I said in my lead that the relations between the Pentagon and the defense industrial base are a little bit strained these days. Is that accurate? I should ask you rather than just say it.
Well, it's interesting as you were saying that. I was thinking, are they strained? And to some extent, there is some strain there. But I think that's part of the natural give and take of how government works with industry. So I wouldn't say that they're certainly not strained to the point where you know, we view it as being negative at this point. We certainly recognize there are, you know, things that we need to worry about there, but it's nothing that's sort of taking over.
Well, let's talk about Philana Breutman for a minute. By all accounts, she stepped down for personal reasons. As far as we know, she wasn't pushed out.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Everything I've seen said, I guess her husband was transferred up to New York. She wanted to make sure she was able to, you know, spend time with him and her. I think she has a young family, and so it sounds like that was the case. And I think given sort of the interactions that we've seen with her, that would make sense. Should, you know, sounded like she was taking before the announcement a much more high profile position, you know, traveling with Kendall and doing some of the things like the recent air show and that sort of thing. So she was definitely out there interacting with industry more, not less, in the last few months of her time on the job.
And what kinds of things did she or does that position ask of industry? What do you talk about when industry people from companies and the industrial policy chief from the Pentagon get together?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, you sit down and like a lot of things we do at Tech America, quite honestly, we had her over for our procurement policy retreat back in January. She was still in an acting position at the time. You know, she had not officially appointed till early spring, but she came over in January, sat down with our group, talked about what her priorities were, and then put on her listening hat and was able to take information in from our members about some of the issues I mentioned before, like acquisition reform. You know, pricing is always a big issue. We constantly get into discussions about, you know, best value, you know, versus lowest price technically acceptable, things like that. And then just the general interaction. That's why I said, you know, from what I understand, she had taken a more prominent role going to places where industry is very present, like the air show and those sorts of things. So it's a job that really requires you, one, to travel a lot, I would imagine, but really get out there and spend time listening and talking to industry as well, but listening more than anything else to try to find out what's on their mind, and then take that back and work it into you know, the department's strategic planning and try to make sure that those relations, as we talked about, are not strained but are actually good and productive. You know, that's really, I think, what she's been up to, you know, in the 5 months that she was officially on the job.
And did you get the sense that she had the ear of the higher-up brass, the, you know, the assistant secretary level?
Deputy secretary level,
I should say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did. You know, like I said, when my only personal interaction with her was back in January when we had the procurement policy retreat. But you know, I know there was some concern coming in because she wasn't a DOD specific person. She had come off the Hill. She worked for Senator Gillibrand, among other places on the Hill. You know, being a former Hill staffer myself, I'm always partial to staff that move up. And I thought she had a good sort of a good mentality for what she was being asked to do. And I think she was very confident that she was the right person for the job. So my sense was that her boss, Frank Kendall, and others in the department recognized that she had the right skills for the job, and I think she did have their ear.
We're speaking with Mike Hettinger. He is the Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at Tech America. Now, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Robert Work, has said publicly in several forums that the United States needs to kind of revive or restore the technology edge that the military has, which has really been for many decades the main strength that America brings to the battlefield and to foreign policy. Is there the sense that that's somehow translating down through the ranks at defense through the acquisitions yet, or maybe through these kinds of interactions that industry has with people like Ilana Breitman, that idea of we need a technological revival for defense systems?
I think we're always focused on that in some way or other. I mean, you know, and it goes quite honestly further than just the Department of Defense. When you talk about, you know, STEM and getting kids involved in technology at an earlier age, and you know, a lot of these coding academies that have popped up around the country, those are all designed really to make sure that we are maintaining a technological edge. Have we slacked off a little bit in that area over the last few decades? The answer to that is probably yes, but there's absolutely no reason we can't regain that technological edge. So, you know, as I look at the Defense Department, we recognize, you know, some of the same issues we see in the broader society. And I do think we need to, you know, to do what we can to continue to promote that. Has it filtered down from sort of the top level leadership who's looking at it from a strategic standpoint into the acquisition piece? I'm not exactly sure how that would translate there, but there is a recognition throughout, you know, up and down the federal government that we need to be leveraging technology more effectively. Do we see that translate down to acquisition every time? No, but I think we're certainly working in that direction.
Now, there is one acquisition issue that has been of concern to contractors, a couple of them, I guess. One is one you mentioned, which is lowest price technically acceptable, which kind of strip away the fanciness. It's just lowest price, basically.
Right.
And then the firm fixed priced idea, especially for service contracts, that's being pushed. And also maybe the proliferation of government-wide acquisition contracts. And all of those things seem to be kind of eroding a little bit, partly because of industry pushback and partly because the Pentagon doesn't seem to have gotten the results that it wants from those initiatives. Is that something that's still pretty much front burner issue, the types of contracting mechanisms that are being pushed?
Well, certainly lowest price technically acceptable is something that, you know, we look at, address, deal with on a regular basis, and by regular I mean it comes up in just about every defense or procurement oriented meeting that we do. And you know, we have seen some at least willingness or recognition, particularly at the top levels, that lowest price does not necessarily, you know, we don't necessarily need to do everything based on price. You know, there is a value calculation that one has to make, and so we're seeing some movement there to start to talk more about you know, best value and how we ought to handle things in that direction. But I think there's still work to be done there. We don't talk as much about firm fixed price. That, to me, at least from Mike Hettinger's perspective, was an issue we talked a lot more about, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago. It's still an issue, but it's not something that is necessarily right on the front burner. Maybe on, you know, burner number two at this point. So those are still issues that are floating around that we hear about.
Another one is the supply chain security, which by the most recent policy that's come out of DOD, it seems to be a lot broader than the enabling legislation called for. That is to say, not just electronic, like integrated circuits are part of this policy, the way it's been enacted or carried out in rulemaking, but almost anything in the supply chain. I imagine that's a big concern these days, too.
Yeah. Yeah, supply chain assurance is a huge deal, and that's something that if you look at issues that are kind of ramping up, supply chain is one. And you know, I mentioned spare parts when I was talking about some of the issues that the industrial base faces overall. But, you know, spare parts in the supply chain, huge issue. You know, a lot of rulemaking around that, something that we follow very closely.
And as the I guess we know the basic budget levels for 2015, although how that translates into individual programs, I guess, is still not totally settled. But 2016, 2017 might be the bigger concerns because of sequestration returning. Is there the sense in industry that the industry, the contractors, and the Pentagon, both of which face the same budget, are kind of in the same boat together trying to find ways around the cutbacks?
I think that's right. You know, we're in the middle of our vision market forecasting process, and we actually just did our blue team review of the Defense Department, which is our, you know, sort of first big review of what we've learned as we've gone out and talked to folks about the defense budget. And I think that's right. I think you look at next year, and we recognize that next year is going to be okay, but there is a possibility of a return of sequestration in 16 and beyond. But then again, you know, it, just like everything else, if there's some sort of event that that changes that dynamic, we recognize that that's a possibility as well. I mean, obviously the world is still very unsettled, and those things have – the world being unsettled has a tremendous impact potentially on the defense budget as well. So, you know, looking at those things, I think we all are in it together. I think industry and government recognize that. But there is, to me, there's always an appetite on the Hill to make sure that the defense community and the defense industrial base are funded and working together. And so as we get into the, you know, 16 and 17, I think we'll hear that discussion about what do we do to avoid this again.
All right, so contracting, budget, supply chain, technology, anything else on the DIB mind that we haven't covered?
I mean, I think that basically is, in a nutshell, the issues that we're looking at. I mean, obviously, there are small business issues and mid-sized business issues. You've still got a little bit of a crunch there, you know, for some of these smaller companies who, because of sequestration, because of some of the cuts that have existed over the last couple of years, are having trouble figuring out exactly where they fit in the marketplace. And then, you know, quite honestly, you look at the larger companies and you've still seen significant cutbacks with some of the larger defense contractors. So, you know, still some issues there, but those all flow out of really out of the budget and sequestration issues.
And any signals that Ilana Breitman, that job will be replaced, because there's no deputy there either, because Brett Lambert left. She stepped into the top job and then she left, and there's nobody in her job or in the deputy.
Right. No, you know, I have not heard one way or another. I assume that the department recognizes that it's an important position and they ought to fill it as quickly as they possibly can. At least get somebody in there in an acting capacity who can be that liaison between government and industry, and you know, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I think hopefully there's a recognition they need to do it. Now, my understanding is she's still on the job here until the end of the month, so it gives them a little bit more time. So we'll have to see how quickly they're able to fill it, and I assume they're looking for a deputy as well.
All right, get those telegrams and letters in now. Mike Hettinger is the Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at Tech America. Mike, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on.